When homeless populations are swept from their semi-permanent settlements, where do they go? No one seems to be able to answer definitively. When they try, the numbers they provide vary widely. We know more about the disruptive side of compassionate disruption than we know about where people end up. Natanya Friedheim has that story in today's Civil Beat Reality Check. Good morning, Natanya.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Sure. We've been hearing a lot about the sweeps this past week, especially there's some, you know, major sweeps still underway through mid-November, but that's the unanswered question, isn't it? Where do they go?
Exactly. And there are some numbers that are collected after sweeps, mostly by outreach workers who will go out before the sweep happens to tell people who are living on the streets that they're not allowed to, you know, stay there when the sweep happens, and try to direct them to services that might be helpful. And those social workers will report back to city or state officials. But the numbers are very hard to track. And sometimes even if somebody says they're going to a shelter or staying with family, you don't really know if they're actually going, to that place.
I would imagine that a lot of people in a homeless community, when asked by an authority figure what they're going to do, would give them the answer they thought they wanted to hear.
Yeah, trust is a big issue. A lot of people who are homeless don't trust, sometimes they don't trust social workers, and a lot of the time, especially, they don't trust state or city officials who are doing the sweeping. So it's difficult to, sometimes it's difficult to even offer services because oftentimes they just don't want it.
Well, because in that world, there are an awful lot of people who have really disengaged from a lot of the, manifestations of society. They just don't want to hear about it. I can't imagine that everyone would provide information about themselves freely.
Definitely. And oftentimes people will be interested in permanent housing, but not be interested in a shelter. And that's one thing to note. There are shelter beds available, but permanent housing units are much more difficult to find.
And to date, if I have this right, Natanya, the city and county of Honolulu has not yet gone into the safe zones policy, right? They're not doing what they're doing on Hawaii Island.
Exactly, not yet. They're definitely talking about it both on a city level, and the conversation about safe zones among city council members has changed from recommending that the city create safe zones for like a tent city where it's okay to set up camp to a tiny home setup similar to Hale Mauleola on Sand Island. But there's also a conversation going on at the state level that's more open to tent cities.
It looks as if something has to give, don't you think, Natanya? I mean, with the extent of these sweeps and the vagueness about where people are going to end up, you have to think some kind of change is in the offing.
Definitely. It seems like, public officials are moving closer to the idea of safe zones. Whether or not that's going to actually help the state's homeless crisis remains to be seen.
Well, whether anything is going to help that crisis remains to be seen, yeah?
That's the million-dollar question, yes.
I'm afraid so. Thanks very much, Natanya.
Thanks for having me.
Every day we bring you a reality check from Civil Beat, today featuring reporting fellow Natanya Friedheim.